Is there a possibility, Susan, of a real blue wave in Virginia? Can the party actually pick up more congressional seats?
We are really excited about our congressional candidates and think we have an opportunity to pick up several seats. I have seen, we've been all over the Commonwealth, my team and I, over these last months, and we have seen no drop-off in the intensity and level of enthusiasm and support for our candidates since last year. Last year, Virginia gave a lot of hope to the world and to our country about moving Virginia and our country forward in electing Ralph Northam and his ticket, as well as this tapestry of diverse and experienced House of Delegates members. And we have seen no drop-off since then. And, in fact, I think our folks have doubled down and know it's even more important than ever.
Did the whole thing with Judge Kavanaugh and the hearing and the charges brought against him and the way – you know, he was passed through. Did that energize Democrats? I mean, you hear President Trump and you hear some of the Republicans say it energized their base, but did it energize Democrats? Is that something that will still be there in a couple of weeks? And did it energize Democratic women?
Yes. I mean, it was very clear, and President Trump admitted that on the news the other night, that he went out and demonized Dr. Ford and said what he did about her was in order to just win, to just win. But I have to say, and I watched a good bit of that, and I'm hearing from particularly women about how mad, angry, and appalled they are that you would think she wouldn't remember who attacked her. Number one, even studies show that women do remember faces and what somebody looked like and who they were. They might not remember how they got home, but they're never going to forget the person that assaulted them. And in addition to that, just take that off the table for a minute and think about Judge Kavanaugh's temperament when questioned. How he responded and acted to Senator Klobuchar from Minnesota. And I would have to say, if you take the other allegations off the table, that he showed he did not have the temperament to be a justice. So everywhere we go, we hear about it. And again, we're not going away. Women are not going away. They know what's at stake, and they are more fired up than ever.
We're talking with Susan Swecker, the chairwoman for the Democratic Party in Virginia. Susan, what are the top two or three issues that people are really concerned about when you or the candidates talk? What are people really asking about?
Well, the number one thing that you hear across in every nook and cranny of the Commonwealth, as diverse as we are, is health care. Families and mothers and fathers want to know that they don't have to worry about if their child gets sick or they get sick and can't afford health insurance. They are scared to death about pre-existing conditions being taken away, the dismantling and continuous assault on Obamacare. Is prevailing. I mean, it bankrupts a lot of families. We have a candidate in the 1st Congressional District, Vanjie Williams, who has a beautiful story, viral YouTube story, about why she ran, is running. She's running, quite frankly, because of health care, because she went, when her daughter got sick and their bills piled up, she went to her Congressman Rob Whitman and asked for help, and she said, I got the door slammed in my face, so I'm standing up now to do something about it.
Why do Republican candidates focus so much on immigration and border issues? Corey Stewart for Senate, Denver Riggleman in the 5th. Why do they focus so much on that when it does not seem to be a top issue when there are a survey of likely voters? Is it a way just to solidify their base?
Right. They've taken a playbook out of the Trump playbook. And try to divide us instead of what I believe we as a Democratic Party and our candidates do, is try to unite us. I mean, to me, there is nothing more horrifying than separating families at the border, of which we have seen, and children in cages and detention camps. And quite frankly, I mean, I have this, I mean, just sheer meanness of and coldness. You have to have a pretty hard heart to watch that and not want to fix it. But that is definitely, they are playing to their base. I have a thing that I say about Corey Stewart. We go to events and there's alcohol served. And I go, I'm a former ABC chairman, and remind you all that the blood alcohol content is 0.08, which is Corey Stewart's approval rating also. I mean, this is, we are going to find out what the baseline is for hate and bigotry and division in Virginia.
We're talking with Susan Swecker, the chairwoman for the Democratic Party in Virginia. Most of the polls show Tim Kaine with a pretty sizable lead over Corey Stewart. Are you worried at all that people might stay home because the top of the ticket looks solidified and that it might impact some of the down ticket races, or are you encouraged that people will come out anyway?
Well, you know, in a normal year, I would say that. I would say a couple things, though. This isn't normal. We're not in normal times, because midterms traditionally have been tough on that, but we're not in normal times. And I have to give Senator Kaine and his campaign a lot of credit. We work very closely with them. They are working very hard with all of their ticket mates and down ballots. The difference between us and the Republican Party is we are united. We are proud to support all of our candidates. They can't, many of them run away or try to straddle the line in support or not supporting Corey Stewart, or support and not support Donald Trump. I mean, Barbara Comstock up in the 10th Congressional District, Jennifer Wexner is going to be our next congresswoman up there. But, you know, it's finally caught up with her. You can't have it both ways. You can't be with Donald Trump and against Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. And let's just wrap up. Let's talk about the congressional districts that touch this area. You've got the 5th, the 6th, and the 9th. Where do you see the most realistic chance for a Democratic pickup? Is it Leslie Coburn in the 5th?
So Leslie, I was with Leslie this weekend in Charlottesville, and her daughter, Olivia Wilde, and son-in-law Jason Sudeikis came, and I've done
bringing
a couple
in some
of
star power, huh?
Yeah, you know, and then you get the story. They go, oh, is that Hollywood coming in? I'm like, you guys would write a story if her daughter didn't come in to campaign for her. This is a daughter coming in to campaign for her mom. There is a tremendous amount of support for her. We're doing a lot to help her. She is, you know, I like the fact. I mean, she's a farmer. Anthony Flaccavino in the 9th is a farmer. Jennifer Lewis here in the 6th is a farmer. I mean, they all love the land, and you combine all them, they still slung around less manure than their Republican opponents.
What is it going to take for some of these districts that have traditionally voted Republican? Of course, there's no incumbent in the 5th, but what is it going to take, Susan, to flip these districts? Is it going to take voter turnout? Is it going to take particular issue? What's it going to take?
You know, and I think that's a great question. I think it takes all of the above. I mean, we have all these congressional races that are important, but here in the 8th House District, we have a great candidate in Carter Turner, and he's latched on to an issue. You know, I-81. Why aren't we doing something about I-81? And I came from Monterey yesterday down here, and I had the choice of, you know, flipping over and coming on 81 through Lexington or down 220. I came 220 because I didn't want to get on 81. So when you get a hold of an issue like that, and if you look at you know, again, I go back to last year, we flipped a lot of places that people said wasn't possible. And that was because people we had great candidates, which we do all across the state. These candidates out here in this neck of the woods, when you see what they're doing, Anthony Flaccavino raised $500,000 this last quarter. I mean, we are putting up really good candidates, and they are campaigning out there. You see Jennifer Lewis all over the 6th Congressional District. It can be done. I've never seen the level of intensity in all my years that I do now.
But a lot of it's about turnout, is it not?
Correct.
Getting off the couch.
Correct.
And getting out.
You have to have laid your game plan out there, got your message out, and now it's getting your people out. And campaigning for every vote. Leave no voter unturned, no voter untouched. And I think that's what these folks have done, too. They are reaching people that we have not reached for a long time.
In other parts of the state, talk about some of the races where you feel pretty good. And these are races where I think women are running for Democratic Party.
Right. We have 6 women candidates, and they are all phenomenal. Jennifer Wexton, state senator in Northern Virginia, 10th Congressional District, is going to be the next congresswoman there. A phenomenal candidate, and one that is just – we are so excited about is Abigail Spanberger in the 7th Congressional District, running against Freedom Caucus Dave Brad, who took out Eric Cantor a couple years ago. Abigail is managed CIA assets for the CIA in Europe, and she's also a Girl Scout leader from the 7th Congressional District. They had a debate last night, and she wiped the floor up and just is a tremendous, strong candidate, raising a lot of money. And then down in the 2nd District, where you probably have read a little bit or heard a little bit about Congressman Scott Taylor, who got in a little bit of trouble because he and his people had an independent candidate. They helped try to get on the ballot and forged signatures. Not a good thing to do with Virginians. But his opponent, our candidate, Elaine Loria, is a retired Navy commander and a small businesswoman, and is just – so we feel really great about that one and what she's doing.
Do you – just to wrap up, when you talk to your compadres across the country and all that, do the Democrats nationwide look at this year, this midterm, as probably the best chance to – to flip the House in quite a while?
Yes, yes. This is very pivotal. The kind of stuff that we are seeing on the ground is the same things I'm hearing, whether it's flipping Congress or picking up really important governor's races, particularly in the South with Stacey Abrams in Georgia, Andrew Gillum in Florida, all over. So I think we want to get those governor's houses back and flip the House. And Senate, too. The Senate is not off the table. It's just a little tougher terrain.